On our morning show today from WRCO, we are talking to the mayoral candidates running for mayor in the city of Richland Center, coming up for the April 7th election. And joining me is candidate Karen Tepley. That's, we say good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Phil. Thank you for having me and to be able to present this for the community.
So you've lived around here a while. A lot of people know you, but for those that don't, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Once again, I've been here for about 30 years. I'm almost at that point where I'm going to start calling this my hometown, but not quite yet. So I have served on city council for the past 8 years and on many committees as well. I have two grown children. Both have businesses in their downtown. Frank owns the Main Street Hobby and Bike Shop, and Kelly has Kelly's Coffee. Like I said, been here, worked in the community. I've worked at the Richland campus, and so after retirement there, I decided I still wanted involvement in the city, so that's when I started with the city council.
So you lived elsewhere, and you moved here. What do you like about the city of Richland Center?
Well, Richland Center has all those small town qualities, and that's really why I moved here. I'm from Racine, and things were getting a little on the rough side with two kids in middle school, and so I wanted a place where, you know, my kids could to have the childhood that I had, where you could go still ride a bike, stay out after dark. The small town schools that are great for, you know, for future development for the kids. So those are still the same things I enjoy. I like that you can go, you know, 25 miles in any direction for another type of event. So while I think we can still do more as far as actual events in our community, it has that small town feel that a lot of people from larger communities come here for. So it's great.
You've been with the Common Council. That experience, do you think that can help you in the post of mayor?
Oh, I think so. You know, having the experience, I mean, learning how to run a meeting, that's one of the tasks of a mayor, but learning all the other things. So the experience comes from the connections that you make. So whether that's, you know, just across town, on the state level, that type of experience, that's hard to learn in a short time. So over the 8 years, I've done quite a bit project-wise. There's been the rebranding, wayfinding signs. I was instrumental in getting those on the highways and byways of our community. And so, the communities that I've served on, the committees I've served on would be, the main one would be finance. You know, one of the largest things that a community council does is the budget. You know, we take care of spending and allocating taxpayer dollars. So that has been very helpful. I think also planning. So those are my two that I'm most well fit. Planning, you know, it's not only zoning, but it is a big part of it. So you have to plan ahead and what are the best things for the community and in what directions. And I've also served on the library board. It's been my longest committee, and I always call it the most fun committee. I've been on there for 8 years, and I've been the president of the library board for 3.
Is there something you're most proud of during your tenure on the Common Council? Maybe you're proud of a project that you were a part of or helped institute?
Yeah, there's probably the most one that would be upcoming, and that is the hotel project. So I've been instrumental in moving that project forward from the feasibility study through planning, through council, and right now we're in the investor phase. But, you know, that's probably will be my most favorite.
You've been able to meet some people here as you've been running for mayor. When someone comes up to you and says, Karen, we need this, what is the most common thing that somebody approaches you about and says, we need this or we need that?
Sure. It kind of depends who we're talking to, but many times it's housing. It's, you know, keep the youth here. It's what can we do to have a more vibrant community? So there are a few things that are in the works currently. Vibrant community, you know, the downtown is typically the economic core of a city. So we've just been added to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation's Connect Communities. So that's going to be a group that focuses on downtown and economic development focused. So I think in a lot of ways, you know, that will certainly be something that we can work forward on. And then, like I said, the housing, well, I'm from Racine, and like I said, and I sold real estate for about 10 years. So housing is always a critical point. So being able to grow that in the way that makes sense is really important. Jobs, keeping jobs, and actually having jobs that are trending today for the youth. I've heard from other communities that they are seeing a trend in keeping the young people here. So we need to have things that will not only attract them, but keep them here.
Some things that you're happy about with the city of Richland Center right now that you know, you think have been going well?
Sure. Well, like I said, a lot of people say, you know, there's not enough to do. But there are a lot of things to do here in the community. And our Parks Department and all of the outdoor adventure that we have here is certainly something to look forward to with spring coming. So there's always, you know, there's fun outside and things to do.
On the flip side, improvement, what are some areas you think that the city could improve on?
Sure. And once again, there's the big points, you know, like say housing and jobs and that type of thing. And also, once I said, as I said before, to be able to attract young people and keep them here. So it would be great if we could, you know, put together a private-public partnership that would possibly do a skate park or, you know, more of those type of things to keep younger people, you know, outside and doing things.
And the downtown, you mentioned you have a vested interest in that. Ideas for the downtown and ways that it could improve or grow?
Sure. So I've had an interest in the downtown before both of my kids had businesses downtown. I was with an organization that was called Downtown Neighborhood Association, and with that we did you know, we did downtown cleanup and that type of thing. Once again, I think this organization for Connect Communities will be great for the downtown. You know, they have many things that they focus on as far as design, so there could be some facade work and that type of thing, but also events. You know, thinking a little bit out of the box, you know, there's a lot of people that are doing, you know, the wine walks and that type of thing. But if we coordinate, we could, you know, maybe do, like, say, block parties in different parts of the area and just continue with some more fun events downtown.
A lot of people would like to see you wave a magic wand and bring a grocery store or something like that. I mean, do you have any ideas for growth, not only for the grocery store, but for other businesses coming into Richland Center?
Sure. I would like to coordinate and work with other people and partners to put together a marketing plan that would tell about our industrial park and that type of thing. Yes, the magic wand is would be nice to have in the back pocket, but nope, it doesn't exist. So through planning, and I guess I'd like to make a pretty clear point that most of the time people talk about going to council meetings, you know, to get involved, go to the council meetings. Well, actually, going to the committee meetings is where things happen. So the work happens in committees, and you get your decision makers to say yes or no at council meetings. So things like in the planning, tourism, you know, all of those type of things that that make the things happen in our community, that's where you really need to start.
Most definitely. And then you mentioned housing. That's been a hot topic over the last couple of years here in the city and will continue to be.
It sure will. And we do have, we certainly have a good start bringing forth some duplexes and whatnot into certain areas of the community, hopefully another apartment complex. But to reach out to developers and make them know and have us be ready to accept the jobs that they have. So if that could be done through a community development authority, it's a little bit different than the what we have right now, which is an RDA, redevelopment authority. And with that, you know, that is open up to the entire community. So that might be a direction. Certainly the council and planning have had conversations about that. So that could really put Richland Center on a different level.
For those that say the position of mayor isn't as needed as it used to be, what do you say to them?
Well, the mayor is still the CEO of the community, and while we do have an administrator, there are still many tasks that the mayor is required to do. He serves as the chief executive officer, monitors activities of the administrator. So that's important. So the administrator doesn't take the place of a mayor. And the mayor, of course, you know, runs the meetings and things like that. But other things the mayor will do is, you know, they represent the city with businesses and other community groups. And I would like to make sure that the city is communicating with businesses in this community. I mean, you know, they employ a lot of people, and that's where, you know, a lot of ideas can come from. So I want to make sure that those avenues stay open and communication happens.
Your background with financing and, you know, knowing kind of that background there, that's very important. Being responsible with the tax dollars, correct?
Absolutely. You know, government is, it's important to be transparent for your citizens. So having that communication with financing, once again, the finance and budget committee meets every month before the council, and you know, we discuss how the budget is going, you know, current spending and that type of thing. But yes, you need to be transparent to the people, and that's a good way to do it.
That's a good way, because a lot of times there can be misconceptions about what's going on or what's not going on, correct?
Exactly. And like I said, if you stay plugged in to those committees, I would really like to see more of those committees, you know, have a live feed or something like a Zoom, Teams, or whatever you want to call it. But to have that available for the community, so that they are aware of what is going on before it actually gets to council.
Sure. What do you see as the biggest challenge then? Is, you know, if you take over mayor on April 7th?
Well, it's, once again, there's a lot of moving pieces always, but I think communication to the public is very important. So, you know, if you're still willing to have the once a month mayor in here to tell the folks what's going on, I would like to always bring someone along with. You know, if there's a certain topic that is you know, happening at the moment, whether it's in parks and rec or streets or something like that, those people will also, you know, be important for the community to hear from. So that's just not one voice, but expertise in the field. And we have, we work well with Southwest Regional Planning and other Southwest partners. You know, those types of people need to be, you know, need to be used for their expertise, and I would like to make sure that the community hears from them as well.
Well, you've kind of spelled it out, Karen, but why would you like this job?
Well, I wanted this job 2 years ago, and so that hasn't changed. You know, to have a community that I want to call home for the rest of my time, for my kids and grandkids, you know, that's always, you know, that good feel that I've put forth the types of things that the community wants, not just what I want. So I would like this position to further that. I think my background, like I say, I have a background in real estate. I'm also paralegal certified. You know, some of that comes into play here and there. We do have a city attorney, so I'm not going for his job by any stretch. But my background with working with the city, I think I have a real good idea of what we need going forward.
Anything else you'd like to add? Anything that I didn't ask you that you'd like to maybe get across to our listeners?
Well, once again, I think one of the most important tasks a mayor has is to appoint people to committees, commissions, and boards. Because the work happens there. If you don't have the right people there, and they can be sometimes, they need to be on the professional level with certain committees, the work's not going to get done. You know, some committees are just there for people to come in and decide things, so the yes and the no. But other committees, you need people to do the work. I will just take, once again, planning. You know, every 10 years we do a comprehensive plan. That's state mandated. And many times, you know, people have said that just sits on the shelf. We don't do anything with it. Well, we are doing things with that this time. And over the, probably the last, I'd say about 2.5, 3 years, we have checked off quite a few things on that list. And I will continue to work with that comprehensive plan because that was put together by the community for the community. So that is already pretty much what the community wants. So that's very important to me.
Thanks for coming in today, Karen.
Thanks again, Phil.
You bet. Karen Tepley, mayoral candidate here for the City of Richland Center. Again, get out and vote. The election is coming up on Tuesday, April 7th. On our morning show today from WRCO, we have Elijah Kramer, who is running for position of mayor here in the City of Richland Center. Nice to meet you, Elijah.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you in the studio with us here today. Let's talk a little bit about yourself there and your background, if you would.
Okay. Well, I was born and raised in Watertown, in between Madison and Milwaukee by Johnson Creek. Graduated high school there in 2000. Left for Army basic training that August. Completed All Source Intelligence Analyst School down in Arizona. Got stationed at Fort Carson, Colorado. Went to Iraq for a year in 2003 to 2004. Got out to pursue law enforcement and a criminal justice degree. Got recalled. Went back to Fort Carson in 2005. Then I volunteered for recruiting duty. Was stationed in Baraboo for almost 4 years. Part of that was being down here on a frequent basis because this was my area, and so I had the high school to go to. After I was done with recruiting duty, went down to Fort Hood, where I was a platoon sergeant for a intelligence platoon, as well as master intelligence analyst. Unfortunately, some physical issues and things that happened in Iraq caught up with me, and the Army retired me in January of 2012. Wanted to be a psychologist, got a four-year degree in psychology, and then decided I didn't want to be a psychologist. I wanted to be a social worker, so then I did a two-year degree for human services and substance abuse counseling, went on to a graduate of social work program at Concordia University over in Mequon. Withdrew from that because of some family issues and sickness and illness and stuff like that. Tried it again when we moved here from Watertown, my wife Ashley and I, in 2020. We opened our mental health clinic here in town, where we've been practicing ever since. Currently a master of social work student through UW-Milwaukee to finish that up in the next year and be a master's level psychotherapist and hopefully mayor.
But your varied background, how do you feel like your military background and all of that better prepares you for this position?
It does, because regardless of the job you go into, there's foundational skills. You know, I remember being told, okay, you're going from leading a team of five soldiers to a platoon of 20, then 30, and then, you know, closer to 50. And there were foundational skills, you know, being able to manage people, being able to take the blame for, you know, one of your soldiers getting in trouble or doing something stupid because it was your fault, you know. So those skills do transfer. However, you know, there is a learning curve with any job. No matter what anybody says, there has to be a learning curve because every job is different. While those foundational skills, interpersonal skills, analytical skills, planning skills, all that stuff does apply, there still needs to be a learning curve because it's a different group of people, you know. Sure, I've never served on a city council, or, you know, I've never been part of government, which I think is actually kind of part of, you know, being an American, right? Anybody can run for most positions. I mean, heck, I could have ran for sheriff if I wanted to. But that ship has sailed. So running for mayor, because I feel that I can bring those foundational skills, have a short learning curve, which is all kind of planned out on my website as far as how that would go. But then also being able to you know, use those planning skills and things that I've learned from the military, as well as, you know, my studies, to be able to help the city of Richland Center and the community grow.
For this position, Elijah, you have to be, you don't have to declare a party. You can be right. Nonpartisan. Why is that important to you?
Because, you know, I thought about it. 'Cause before I knew that it was a nonpartisan position, I was like, well, if they're going to ask me to declare one or the other, what do I do? And of course, then there's the independent option, you know. But I think that for the purposes of being successful as a mayor and even a council person, I believe that it's good that it's a nonpartisan thing. I don't want to get into arguments about politics and which side is right and all of that. I have my personal beliefs and values and morals that, you know, make me who I am and how I'm going to do the job. And it's not being on the right or on the left. It's being nonpartisan.
Recently, there were some community engagement surveys yes. around there. What did you learn from that, or anything stick out that you'd like to talk about?
So I am actually learning a lot. Now, I've only got about 300 back, and I'm, you know, still handing out paper ones and getting people, because I want to be able to, I want it to be as close to true research as possible, and that typically takes a minimum of 10% of the population that you're studying. And I mean, even so, having 300 of them, I'm still getting information about what people perceive and what people think or feel that the priority should be. And it's actually lining up with what I have, you know, put as my vision and focus, you know, the four things that I want to focus on: the housing crisis, the commercial and downtown area and stuff like that, community engagement, especially, you know, not just communicating to people, but getting them engaged as well. You know, the surveys have been giving me people's assurance, you know, essentially, like, yes, this is what you should work on, or what we feel you need to work on, and that's already what I had, you know, put out there. So it's reassuring to know that people are thinking the same thing, but then also I'm getting feedback as far as, yes, we think this needs to be fixed, like there's certain roads, and I'm like, yeah, I knew that, but now you've assured me, you know. But also there's really great feedback too, like majority of the people that have responded feel that the city does a good job with keeping the parks up and, you know, public facilities and all of that. People enjoy Woodman's Aquatic Center. People enjoy the community center. People enjoy Simon's, and they want to see those things continue. So it's, I don't want to say it's a mixture of good and bad. It's a mixture of good things and things that could improve. So,
having lived elsewhere, Elijah, too, you've gotten that community, you know, from other communities and things like that. When you moved here, I guess, impressions of Richland Center. What do you like about the city of Richland Center?
I love that it's small. I really do. You know, coming from a city that over the years, Watertown, that is, grew to about 35,000 people, I do enjoy the smaller community feeling here. I do love the scenery as well, right? I mean, Watertown is flat. So, yeah, the scenery here is great. The community pride that people are talking about. One thing, the rodeo, we go to it every year. We don't have that in Watertown. Yeah, so when we moved here, I was like, oh, wow, this is interesting. Weird, but interesting, you know. But I do love that. And I do like the people around here and how polite they are. And you know, I just run into somebody at Walmart and could talk forever if I had nothing else that I had to do, you know. So those are things that I enjoy about Richland Center.
What are some things you'd like to see changed if you become mayor?
So, of course, you know, the population, right? Trying to bring in individuals and families that share similar, you know, values that we do here. The natural amenities that we have, you know, enjoying those, but also housing, right? Affordable housing. There's a definition of affordable housing that the Department of House and Urban Development put out. You know, 30% of a person or family's gross wages is considered affordable. Well, when we look around here, like, where do we find that? we don't, you know? And so that keeps people from coming in. People may come here as tourists and say, well, yeah, this is great, and it's small town charm, and the people are great, but there's nowhere for us to move into. And so that has to happen. And I don't think there's any argument on that, you know? All of the feedback I've been getting, plus, you know, observing the council and the mayor and stuff, housing is at the forefront. It's just, I'm not sure if there needs to be a different approach or an adjusted approach or something like that. I wouldn't know that for sure until I'm elected if that happens. But knowing that that is one of the focuses and needs to be one of the focuses, then, you know, I can use my old planning process for all of that. But also, I think, like I said before, community engagement, right? As elected officials, we represent those who vote for us. And not just those who vote for us, but those that live within our jurisdiction, right? And we're supposed to represent them. But how do we know we're representing them if we're not asking them? I mean, it's one thing to be like, well, if you want to know something, go to this website or come to this meeting at this time. But it's kind of, that's kind of impersonal, you know? People have their perceptions of government. You know, you hear it a lot, oh, that's corrupt, or that's this, or that's this. And those perceptions then stop them from trying to engage. So how do you get people to engage? Well, you go out to them. Like when I was a recruiter, not saying it's the same thing, it's just having to go out and engage people, ask them questions, build trust, build rapport, and build that relationship so that they can tell the elected representatives what they want.
Speaking of which, I know you were at Tony Kurtz's listening session recently.
Yes.
Did you take anything from that, Elijah?
I did. You know, and the other questions that people asked were great too, good information that I got, but, you know, along the lines of what my vision for the city and my focus would be, I wanted to ask about, you know, the state funding availability for housing and economic development, you know, because those are huge things in order for us to responsibly grow our population, right? And so the fact that they're trying to get these funds that have been sitting there for a while out to the rural areas, that's definitely something I'm going to follow up with him on, you know, especially if I'm elected. I mean, even if I'm not, I still want to know. But to have that funding would help with the city, because it's no surprise that budgets are tight everywhere, you know, so the city can't be like, oh, well, let's take $10 million and do this to put a park in or something like that, you know. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying, you know, money-wise. So, yeah, you know, I took away a lot from him, and the fact that he's supportive. I mean, he's in Waniwak. I mean, you don't get more rural than that, you know. So I think he has a lot of clear vision that would apply to us, and it's just a matter of collaborating with him, but also collaborating with the community here in Richland Center.
You mentioned the downtown earlier. How do you see maybe attracting some businesses and doing some changes there?
Mm-hmm. So I actually just met with the owner of TKO, Tim, and last week I had met with Chris Jarvis, who's running unopposed for a seat on the council, and we seemed to all agree that, you know, the downtown area, and I like to include this center square into that because it's a commercial area in which people see when they first come into the city, and so we talked about how there needs to be a focus on not just revitalizing the downtown and looking at some of the buildings and the parking situation, snow removal situation so that people can park and access businesses, crosswalks that are faded, and that's a safety issue. But we talked about how there still needs to be some degree of focus at the same time we're focusing on housing and other things, because if we don't, then there'll come a point where, sure, we have enough housing and enough affordable housing, but people aren't coming because the downtown area isn't sufficient or satisfactory to them, or it doesn't have the businesses they're looking for. And so we were talking about state, federal funding, things like that, that can, in the form of grants, that can be applied to the downtown area to potentially get people to bring businesses in. And of course, if population starts going up, well, then that opens the door for more businesses. And that also takes, you know, because that is one of my focuses, the commercial and downtown area, conversations, phone calls, cold calling, really, you know, hey, let's call Walgreens and see what they say about Richland Center. And if they say, go pound sand, well, then I move on and develop those conversations so that when the time is right, hopefully we have some results.
I know that there's been a lot of struggle right now, you know, the city and the county, you know, and struggling with budgets. And I know the Simons Recreation Complex has been in the news as well lately.
Yeah.
If you're mayor, how do you see, you know, working with the county and some ideas there?
So any business relationship can be kind of up and down, right? We have, you know, in my private life, or, well, I mean, really public life as a therapist, you know, our relationship with the county has been, well, ongoing. I mean, since we came here, right, collaborating with Health and Human Services, working with law enforcement, mental health with them, doing the mental health for the jail. Inmates and stuff like that. So we have a relationship with the county. It would be a totally different relationship, of course, if I'm mayor, right? And I believe, you know, if I was to approach the county administrator, who is a social worker, we could probably have a conversation about these things, good or bad. I don't shy away from conversations of, oh, well, you screwed this up, or, you know, we don't like this, or I don't like that, or I don't like you, or whatever the case may be. Because when it comes down to it, just like when I was in the military, it's about the mission, and we need to overcome the emotional part of it. I mean, really, that's the key, is cut emotion out of it, take a break if we need to, but we need to kind of negotiate and compromise. And I want to have those conversations. And I think I can have those conversations.
Yeah, the city of Richland Center, you know, as you mentioned, you want to try to grow the population, more housing and those kind of things. Anything else kind of on your planning?
Well, like I said, you know, there's the population growth.
Yep.
Which is covered on my website. And then the second one is the housing, and then the commercial and downtown area, including the square, and then the community engagement. Those are the four big focuses or priorities. Plans can change. I mean, even when I was in the Army, if I would do a plan for intelligence collection or a plan for a small operation that was happening when I was in Iraq, it always changed up until the minute before, you know. But we knew what the mission was, what the focus was, so then we would just change whatever we needed to. And that's how plans go, right? There's no foolproof plan. So a lot of it is going to be, if I'm elected after that point, then it's adjusting the plan to the resources we have, the support that I have, developing those relationships to gain support, and then executing that plan, whatever that plan looks like at the time. But those are my focuses. So whatever I do is going to be focused on that, those four things.
And your plans for the mayor's office, being in the mayor's office on a regular basis?
Yes. So cool thing as a business owner, especially with, you know, I do see patients. However, a lot of my time is spent, you know, doing administrative work or, you know, things like that. And I always have half days, meaning, and of course we don't work Fridays. So we do our 40 hours or whatever throughout Monday through Thursday. And then on Friday would be my in the office day. In addition to being able to be in the office or addressing things around the city or whatever on, say, Monday afternoon, which is my half day for whatever I need to do, and then Tuesday morning, and then Wednesday afternoon, and Friday, and I can also move my small caseload around to say, well, why don't I just be in the office Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? But at the same time, you know, this is the information age. I have a cell phone. I have a computer. Anywhere I go, I get phone calls. I get, you know, emails all the time. So I do feel, though, that it's important to be in the office. But it is also important, especially for community engagement and getting people engaged and comfortable with giving their feedback, being out in the community as well, hunting down those people and building that relationship.
Sure. And as you approach Election Day on April 7th, you're trying to meet as many people and talk to as many people as you can, I'm sure.
Yes. I'm getting phone calls, emails, Facebook messages. Matter of fact, you know, the meeting at TKO before this was an unplanned thing. He reached out via text, said, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you about this." And I said, "Well, I have a meeting at 2 o'clock today. Well, after this, you know, I have a meeting with the Simons board at 2, but I can come by at 3. He's like, "Well, what about now? Because I open at 3. I'm like, "Okay, I'll be right there." So there I was before coming here. And yes, so I am taking phone calls, messages, emails, contacts through contact requests through my website, things like that. And I'm talking to as many people as I possibly can. So
you've kind of spelled it out for us, but the final question is, why do you want this job, Elijah?
So the funny thing is, when I decided to take out the papers, it wasn't just this sudden, like, "Oh, I should do this." For more than 2 years, people would, and not, you know, family members or people I'd worked with or people I knew in the community, they would poke me, like, "You should run for mayor." And so, like, people, you know, these people were like, "Well, you should run against Mayor Coppernall." So 2 years ago. And I was like, "No, I, you know, I'm doing things for the community kind of in the background, you know, and so I'm just going to keep doing that." And then the final project in order to successfully complete one of my courses last semester was a community assessment and taking whatever one of the city's main focuses were at the time. To be completely honest, I mean, it's human nature to try shy away from uncomfortable things, right? So I emailed my professor and I said, "Hey, look, you know, most of my experience was in Watertown or even Colorado Springs. Can I use either one of those?" And she's like, "Well, where do you live?" I was like, "Richland Center." She's like, "No, but it'll be on Richland Center." And she actually has family here, so she, you know, knew. And so I took a look at everything, started looking at comprehensive plan. I started looking at agendas, notes, and then, of course, self-disclosure. My father-in-law is on the city council, and I know he's running unopposed, so he'll get it. And I went to the first council meeting about Story Field and, you know, learned the issue with Story Field, the issue with housing, all of that went into my final project. And when I turned that in and my professor said, "This is amazing," I said, "You know what? I'm going to run for mayor." And then everybody, including my wife, was like, "I thought you were joking." Like, "Nope, I'm going to run for mayor." It's kind of an evolution for me, you know, working in kind of the background of the community or behind the scenes for the last 6 years. I now want to work at a larger level and help more people and try to solve bigger issues.
Thanks for coming in today. Anything else you'd like to add, Elijah?
So I encourage people to, if you haven't done the engagement survey, you can go to my website, votekramerrc.com, and go to community engagement and it'll get you the survey. But also while you're there, take a look, you know, at my biography, take a look at my how I lay my vision and focus and philosophy out. It'll kind of give you a good idea of whether or not I'm a good fit to serve the people of Richland Center. So I appreciate your time.